welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Edward Knight.
I'm Andrew Nichol.
And today on the show, we're talking about how to create a financial plan, and we are joined by James Blair from Catalyst Financial. Now, James, welcome along to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
Now, what we're going to talk about today is, of course, creating a financial plan. Tell me, what I want to know is, what actually goes into a financial plan? What's the purpose of it? Like, I realise it's probably some sort of document, but what does it actually contain?
Financial plan recipe.
Yeah, like, what actually goes into it? That's what people want to know.
It's 60 pages of fun, really, Ed.
What does these 60 pages say?
No.
Do people actually read it?
Maybe 10 years ago they were that long. These days it's really about having a roadmap to your success. So you'll notice when people talk about how much you need to retire, the general answer is it depends. And it's such a nothing answer. But the reason that is the answer is because it depends on your situation. So the idea of what a financial plan is, I'll sit down, understand your goals, and then work out, based on your goals, are you on track? What do you need to do to get there?
So if I came to you and said, James, I want an income. I want to live for the rest of my life on 150K a year for me and Kelly, starting in 15 years' time. How do I make that happen?
Is that what you do? Kelly, half of it's yours.
No, Andrew, none of that, please.
You said.
Is that the kind of thing we're talking about here?
That's right. And then, you know, you and Kelly might have some kids down the road. And
don't get any ideas, Kelly.
And then it might be around what do you want for your kids as well. So something that I run into all the time is helping kids for their first home deposits.
I was only going to have kids so they could help me.
That would be the number one thing that I hear at the moment is helping kids out get into the property ladder.
And one thing I always ask when people go, I want to help my kids, is there's a very wide range of helping kids, from a small deposit to quite a big deposit to helping with university fees.
But where are these parents and how do I get one?
Well, the kids might be a great strategy as well to provide a bit of passive income in retirement.
I hear they're a bit much of an investment at the start, though. Oh, there's too much of a cash outlay.
Too much of a risk on that ROI.
Big risk.
So what I want to know, though, is if I come to you and say, James, okay, I want this retirement income, 150K, I want it in 20 years' time. What's the next step? So we've got some goals down. What do you actually do in this process?
I wouldn't overthink, like jump too quickly past the goals, Ed. What you'll see is a lot of couples won't talk to each other about money. And why don't they talk about money? Because it's hard. They're probably going to end up in a fight. They're going to go to sleep a little bit cranky. So the first bit you really got to work through is that goal section and working out what you want. And it's very common that I end up talking to two people when they talk about it for the first time and they have very different goals.
What's an example of this? Sorry to cut you off, Andrew, but give me a classic client situation maybe that you saw over the last 2 weeks where he or she wants to do something else and he or she's got some other completely other idea.
I'll give you a great example. I've been working with Kelsey and Devin over the last month or so, and in the first 10 minutes you could tell they hadn't spoken about money before. So one was going, I want to travel overseas, I want to spend time with, they were lucky enough to have a couple of horses, while Devin really enjoyed his job. And he was like, I never want to retire, she wants to retire early. A lot of real back and forwards in a really constructive way, where we ended up coming up with a plan of what they're going to do going forward. So sometimes it's just completely different goals and you've got to bring them together and find a bit of a happy middle ground.
So you're part counselor, part financial advisor. Absolutely.
Because if you think about what money is, money in the bank, properties, what are they? They're widgets, right? And those widgets lead to a lifestyle.
They're fun tokens.
Yeah.
And so, you like that one there, Ed? So tell me this. We often talk about retirement on this show because it's at the forefront of a lot of our investors' minds. But that as a goal in itself is pretty weak. Like, you know, what are you going to do with your time? You kind of have to dig down into it a bit more. So do you try and build out something that's, you know, not so much about retirement but about the lifestyle you want? Are you traveling? All those kind of things. What are the normal goals that people are giving themselves?
A whole range from income to cars to holidays, helping kids, spending time with kids. But the biggest goal, which once again you can't go past, is around peace of mind. People in front of me have come with serious wealth and they're scared. I've had people with 5 rental properties, no debt on their own home, and they're going, James, I don't know if we're going to be okay. We're worried. Yeah. 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like I can give them that peace of mind.
And it's interesting because I remember someone once saying that having no money is less stressful than having money, because when you've got money, you worry about losing it. when you've got nothing, you kind of don't worry about losing it because there's nothing to lose.
Absolutely.
And certainly I think with some of the investors' mindsets that I work with, some of the people who have fewer options because of their limited income, limited equity, they are far more likely to take action than people that have got a better income. So I work with some very high-paid individuals who can afford to be a bit lazy when it comes to their money.
Very dangerous, isn't it? You'll know that.
Yeah.
Now tell me this, James. What happened with that couple who have the horses?
They broke up.
What did they decide then?
They were a classic couple of good savers, but not good investors, so focused on clearing down their mortgage. So the first thing we did is help them come up with an investment strategy, which we can talk about a little bit later. But the main thing is kind of going, where are they going to live long term? Are they going to travel? How are they going to spend their time outside of work, finding that work-life balance as well? So they've got the roadmap to go, these are our collective goals, opposed to having two individual set of goals.
And is he going to retire while she goes off with the horses?
Overseas. No, it'll be a bit of a balance. We negotiated on 4 weeks holiday at the end of each year during the quiet season.
Oh, he's done very well at that negotiation.
You're taking some tips on this. Kelly, if you're listening, you know Ed is going to want to have at least 49 weeks a year worth of work because he just enjoys it too much.
Well, I'll start with 2 weeks of vacation. That's what I'll offer her. Now, tell me this, Jay. So we find out our goals. What's the next stage of writing this out? So are you going to go and write a Word document, or how does this actually work in practice?
Yeah, so we do two things. First thing is we'll have some projections in front of us. So going, if you keep doing exactly what you're doing right now, this is what the rest of your life looks like. Now that's built on assumptions because as we know, life happens and it works out very differently. But we start with the projections. And the first thing I say to them, what do you think about that? That's before I've done anything for them, started looking at investing into the stock market, talking to them about investment property, how to manage their cash flow and budget better. And then once we talk about those individual things, then we'll get to the actions off the back of it.
Right. So that could be that they're wanting to retire at 60 and they're wanting to go on these horse treks, but their current investments, KiwiSaver, maybe Reliance on the superannuation, is only going to give them half of what they need to be able to do those things. Is that what you're meaning?
Correct.
All right.
And then what happens?
And then we go through the plan, we come up with agreements on what the plan is. And then one of the trickiest things, it's very easy to go, wow, look at these projections, my life is great. You got to action it. You got to stick to kind of the cash flow that we agree to. We've got to go and find that investment property. And we've got to kind of make the changes and stick to it over a really long period of time.
And what kind of things do you often help people invest in? So obviously property is one of them. That's a big, we've got a love affair of that in the show. But what other things?
Looking at the share market.
Okay.
Making sure we've got some diversification and we're building up that passive income from other sources.
So that sounds quite scary for someone that hasn't invested in shares. So how do you manage that risk?
We talk about over what period of time are they planning? Essentially, when we talk about the share market, like lots of other investments, I tell people markets go in kind of 7-year cycles.
Yes.
There's three really good years where James is your best friend. You're loving me.
Yeah.
There's three kind of boring years where you might go with similar to term deposits.
Yeah.
And there's one really bad year where you've got the dartboard with my face on it and you're going away at that. So it's about understanding the law of averages and to be patient. And I always tell people the biggest threat when you go into the share market, as long as assuming you've got a diversified strategy and you don't have all your eggs in one basket, is that you don't freak out when the market drops. Because there will be a GFC, a COVID, a 1987 stock crash every 5 to 7 years. It's just going to happen.
There'll be something. Stuff happens, right? And so then if I am an investor who's never invested in shares before, how do you help me invest in shares?
In New Zealand, a lot start with just property.
Yes.
So what I encourage to do is I'm not saying for first-time investors, take $100,000, if you're lucky enough to have that amount, and dump it into the stock market. I believe in long-term planning. So I go, $100 a week. Yep. Let's regularly contribute $100 a week. And then they learn about the volatility and the ups and downs with much smaller amounts. Yeah. And then if I'm dealing with a 30-year-old couple, they'll kind of learn, and by the time it is a bigger balance, they're more comfortable with those fluctuations.
And what about like mortgage repayment? Do you do anything around that, or is that sort of a different kettle of fish?
No, we do debt repayment projections as well.
Okay.
I believe people like to jump straight to the exciting bit, investment property, shares, maybe starting your own business. I bring it back to 101, which is managing your cash flow. Mm. People like to jump that part, but if you can manage your cash flow effectively, essentially if my customers don't miss out on anything, but if they're more conscious of their spending, they're more likely to pay down their mortgage more effectively, look to invest.
And save more. What about Bitcoin?
Yeah, it's a good question. My views on Bitcoin are I focus on assets where you get paid a weekly income, like investment property, like investing. Bitcoin, all you're hoping for is capital gains, and I'm not smart enough to work out whether it's going to go up or down.
Well, tell me this, James. What's it cost to get a financial plan put together? Like, give us a range of what's acceptable in the industry.
Within the industry, probably somewhere between $500 and $2,000 is the kind of money that you're looking at. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased on the process and the benefits, but I talk to people and go, if we're talking about giving you an income for the rest of your life, it's a relatively small investment to give you peace of mind that you're going in the right direction.
And let me ask you this. Let's say that I do a financial plan with you and then I decide, actually, James, we're probably not the right fit. For whatever reason, can I pick that up and just give it to another financial advisor, or are they going to want to start to write their own one, start again from scratch?
Financial advisors, there's certainly a method and a process that you're going to work through. So you shouldn't have a completely different experience. But if you pick up your financial plan, want somebody else to bounce those ideas off and map out your future, it should be far less time intensive than the original process.
But it sounds like the real thing here is that a lot of Kiwis, and I suppose this is the issue, haven't fully talked with their partner about what they want the future to look like financially at some of these key milestones.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you compare it to the Australian market, a lot of Australians won't do anything without their financial advisor as part of the process. So having that individual kind of third party to bounce ideas off, mediate the decision making, is a good idea.
What I want to know as well is, so you're going to come up with some sort of asset allocation that we're going to follow. Maybe we're going to do 60% shares, we're going to do 20% bonds, we're going to put something into term deposits, something along these lines. If I start investing in the first year and actually instead of a 5% return, the market gives me a 2% return, do I have to top that up next year?
No, because you're thinking from a long-term strategy, right? So coming back to that seven-year cycle, three good years, three boring years, the 2% would be a perfect example of a boring year. And then maybe the next year you get that 7 or 8% return, you might get a negative 10% return, and that law of averages.
James, we can't have that. We're not going to have a negative 10% return.
Yeah.
How do I stop that from happening? That's what people are thinking.
It's the million dollar question.
And before we do any of these things, obviously for the client and for me, I want to make sure you can ride through the volatility. I don't want those screams going in.
You don't want
my
phone
office.
Calls at the middle of the morning.
No, banging on the door. It's really about right up front doing a bit of a risk profiling exercise. So I'll ask you those questions, Ed, and go, if your investment dropped 10%, 20%, 30%, what would your reaction be? And if you're going to run to the door, then we talk about how much volatility can you accept. Mm. And if you're not going to accept any volatility, money in the bank is the only guaranteed investment that's going to go backwards when you take into account inflation.
So then thinking about some of the things I'm seeing on the market at the moment, particularly some of the developers who are raising capital for their own funds, I had one of my clients ring me up about this the other day and said, should I invest in this? And my answer was, no, you don't qualify. You're not a wholesale investor, which was the first thing. Secondly, I think we've kind of lost sight in the current market of the GFC. So back in the 2006, I remember lots of people were going out of bank deposits at about 4%, I think they were. They were investing in a thing called Bridge Corp or Hanover Finance, and they were getting, 6% or 7% or 8%. And they're thinking, this is great. I'm getting double what I'm getting at the bank, forgetting that there was a high level of risk attached to a high level of return. Your thoughts on those?
Yeah, I think it depends on the individual investment, obviously. But my huge belief is not around chasing returns immediately. It's about having diversification in lots of different areas. And if you can achieve a reasonable return over a long period of time, that's the way I like to go.
So does everybody need a financial plan, James, or is it just for a lucky few?
We've got a few big problems in New Zealand, which I know you guys have spoken about in the past. The first is financial literacy. So financial literacy in New Zealand is pretty poor. Financial advice is accessible to everybody. You've just got to be willing to invest a little bit of money to get that return over the long term. I think everybody should have a financial plan. That doesn't mean I think everybody should have a financial advisor. If you're really competent when it comes to investing, you've got your strategy. The main thing I would suggest you do is that you've written down your goals, you know kind of what it's looking like over the next 3 years, and then you're thinking about as well, where's my income coming from in retirement?
Fantastic. Let's wrap it up there. But just before we do, I want to take a minute to celebrate that we've just hit 1 million downloads.
Amazing.
And we are so proud of it and thankful that you as the community have helped us get there. Now we want to take the community to the next level. And to do that, I need to ask for your help.
So what we're going to do is we're going to run a draw and we're going to take 20 of you out for dinner with Ed and I so you can hear his data, you can hear my hilarious jokes, and we'll buy dinner and wine.
As long as it's house. Now, in order to do this, we're going to have to run a draw because I don't think we're going to be able to fit you all in a restaurant, but we are going to take 20 people out in each centre. So that's 10 of you plus a friend or partner each. So how do you enter that draw? Well, first of all, we'd love you to follow us on Instagram. We are at @opas_partners. We'd love for you to share something about the podcast on your story or on your feed to help grow the community. And then also, if you could give us a review, those things really help us if you go to your podcast app and leave a review. Take a screenshot of all of those three things, send it to podcast@opaspartners.co.nz along with the city that you're in, and then we'll do a draw at the end of next month. Listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Epic Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.